Hey everyone, it's Rachel and Megan from Bravo's Daily Dish. We're digital producers at BravoTV.com, and we're here to discuss everything Bravo.
I mean, I would say what's happening this week, but I think we know, given our bonus episode that went up last week. Kenya Moore is married.
Married! And I don't know if we can say this, but we found out some more details about it.
We can.
But we can't tell you.
We can't. Top secret. Sorry. And there was some other big news. A little someone named Nene Leakes is coming back.
Which, can I just say, Kenya Moore, so smart. Because she's like, oh, you're coming back, Nene? Well, I got married.
Totally. But yeah, check out that bonus episode. We had a lot of fun discussing that.
It's called, Holy Shit, Guys, Kenya Moore is Married.
Very on the nose.
But how was your week, Megan?
Fine, average, you know, the same, the huge.
What is the huge for you?
Work, 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 work.
Work, 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 work.
Totally.
That was your week?
Yeah.
Well, my week was that too, but part of that week was going to the RHOP reunion.
Yes.
So I just want to say that the night before the reunion, which I've been planning for like weeks, we had a heat wave in New York. So it was like 95 degrees outside and humid. And my neighborhood had a brownout, which means only like a certain wattage can be like handled, which means all of my AC units didn't work. So I had to sleep on the couch downstairs. I don't think I actually got to sleep till maybe like 3 or 4 in the morning. And then I had to get up at 6 to get to the reunion. So I arrived at the reunion a mess because I was just so tired and out of it. And everyone looked so beautiful that I just was like, I'm sorry I look like this. But they all complimented my red hair. So that's something.
Oh, well, hey now.
Yeah, I think last time I met them, I had brown hair.
Oh. It's funny because you texted me. I was already in bed because, you know, it's me. And I was like, Aaron, what's a brownout? And he was telling me about, you know, loss of electricity, blah, blah, blah. Because to me, brownout sounds like something gross or sexual.
Ew.
So I wasn't sure.
No. And then, like, I would have gone to my boyfriend's house or a friend's house, but I had to be at my house super early to get the car to go to the reunion because it was in New Jersey. So that was terrible. And then at one point, I was, like, filming stuff, and Giselle was like, get in the shot with me. And then I looked at the footage later, and I look insane, and she's, like, a goddess in, like, full reunion makeup and gown.
Ugh.
And I'm like, I just am like, oh, I look so bad.
Well, what happened at the reunion?
Oh, my God, so much happened at the reunion. First of all, I want to say that there was a mishap backstage.
What?
Like, I want to say 10 minutes before the ladies were supposed to, like, get their gowns on and walk out, because they kind of wait to, like, the last minute to do that. Water spilled somewhere, and they spilled all over all the gowns. So then they were, like, holding them up in front of, like, fans and stuff, trying to get the bottoms dry. It was, like, a mess.
Oh, my God. It's like that movie. What's the one with Kirsten Dunst about pageants?
Oh, Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Where someone, like, messes around with the outfits backstage. Yes, yes, do you think it someone meant to?
No.
Sabotage?
You're going to be squishy out there on that couch. No, I don't think it was sabotage at all. But I will say all of the gowns were gorgeous. The theme was high tea.
Oh, I like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Any walk-offs?
I cannot confirm or deny.
Any tears?
I cannot confirm or deny.
Ugh. But you think it's going to be good?
Yes. There's some huge bombs that get dropped that I was super surprised about. People show up that I didn't think would want to.
Oh.
We get a sneak peek at maybe who Giselle is actually dating now.
Is he a fireman?
No. Not Cherie.
Oh.
Though that comes up, of course. Yeah, it was just super fun. I got to talk to Andy, which was great. So,
hey, there's another project you've been working on this week.
What is it? I mean, I know what it is.
Well, it launched Monday, and I just want you to be able to tell our fans about it. Weekly pregame?
Yes. So Darren Carp, Andy's assistant, is starring in this series that kind of gives you a preview of what's to come for the rest of the week, but with kind of like a sportsy spin, I would say. If take like SportsCenter and then Bravo and then mix them together.
Awesome.
So there's things like the potential MVP, there's Plays of the Week.
Is there any part where like you're Darren's drawing on the screen with the highlighter?
That's like the dream.
Someday.
But it's super fun. She's hilarious. You guys should definitely check it out at bravotv.com. We'll put the link in the description. If it's Monday, it's time to pregame is our tagline. So it'll be out every Monday.
Awesome.
I don't know if this is interesting to people, but I felt like it was a very New York moment of my life today. So I was getting ready, and I really wanted to wear this new shirt that I just got at this really cool vintage shop in Brooklyn. And I
couldn't. It's like orangey gingham. Very cute. Halter.
Thank you. And it zips in the back, and I couldn't do it myself. And my roommate had already left, and I was running late, and I was like, I don't have time to change. And I already put my lipstick on, which means that, like, I would have had to, like, touch the fabric with my lips, and it was a disaster. So I just walked out of the house with it unzipped, and I was like, this is gonna be my life now. And then I was walking, and someone was like, oh, your thing's unzipped. And I was like, oh, I know, I can't do it. She's like, do you want me to do it for you? And I was like, yes, please. And she zipped it for me, which I was like, such a New York moment.
That's so nice. But what, like, was your plan?
I thought I was just gonna have to, like, keep my back to walls until, like, I got to work and then be like, Megan, can you set this up for me? I couldn't do it myself. Yeah, so that's the level I'm operating on.
Yeah, get it.
Can't zip up my own clothing.
Totally. Mm-hmm. People who can zip up their clothing, Southern Charmers.
Yeah, probably. I think that they have that capability.
We had interviews this week with Catherine Dennis and with Craig Conover.
Yes. Sadly, Gizmo didn't come with him.
Right.
So I'm sure he would have been very well behaved.
Both just gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of wish they were together sometimes, just in terms of what the babies would look like.
Well, remember at the very beginning, he was interested in Catherine.
I know. Things could have turned out so differently.
I mean, seriously. What if that would have happened? Would Thomas have even... their lives would have been completely different.
Yeah. But the thing is, we now have little Saint.
Yes, little Kinsey.
So, you know, it all worked out.
Right. I've never thought about that, but had the show not happened, would these two adorable little people be here?
Okay, I have to say this, and it's like such a departure from what we're talking about, but it reminds me. So I was watching Real Housewives of New York, and it's like after the Countess and the Count have broken up,
mm-hmm.
and she kind of has this zen moment a season later where she was talking to, like, you know, some yogi or something, and it was like all about marriage. It doesn't matter if, like, if it was a success or a failure, you were biologically destined to be together so you could bring those children into the world.
Whoa.
How deep is that?
Super deep. And they say reality TV is light. Lies.
Well, let's talk about this week of Southern Charm.
Yes, please.
The vacation. Cameron's birthday.
Yes.
Perfect example.
33.
Ooh, ooh. But this is just amazing. Like, the fact that I knew we were going to have Thomas and Catherine and Landon in the same room. Like, I've just been waiting for this episode.
I know. The weapon.
But I did want to bring this up because, so we see Landon talking to Chelsea and to Cameron about the whole situation with Catherine. And Cameron's like, well, you know, I had an enlightening conversation with Catherine, and you went away with Thomas when they had just broken up on Valentine's Day.
Right.
And Chelsea's like,
I'm not trying to pick sides, but if I had just had a child with someone and all of a sudden we broke things off and then another girl who I ran in the same circle
with. We were not friends to begin with. We are not friends now.
Went with him, no matter if there's other people or not. It would hurt my feelings.
And Landon goes, grow up.
There is no girl code. I'm sorry. That's the lamest thing I've ever heard. Grow up.
I know. There is no such thing as girl code. So I wanted to ask, do you believe in girl code?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that there are times when the heart wants what the heart wants. And if at the end of the day, you're going to be a happier person and you really want to be with this other person, but the sacrifice, it's like the juice has to be worth the squeeze.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think that Landon and Thomas, based on what happened in this episode, was necessarily worth the squeeze.
Right. So, I mean, that part was crazy. Okay, so Landon is so upset about Catherine that she's just saying
everything.
Like, spewing vitriol, basically, yes. About her.
Yes. And it's then, very Shep of you.
Right. Sorry. I'm very well read. And then by the end of the episode, Landon's on Catherine's side.
Right. When, oh my God, that was crazy. That she, but I also agree that, like, Thomas stopped, like, poking Catherine when, and then who is this 19-year-old woman that Catherine isn't around her, doesn't want around her children?
Right.
Like, that's a whole mystery that I want to find out. But, yeah, how all of a sudden Landon is, like, on Catherine's side.
Who said it at the dinner that was, like, I think what happened is Landon realized she has no friends, really, in this group. And she...
Cameron said that in an interview. She was like,
I think Landon has managed to tick off a few people at this table. And it's not surprising that she doesn't want to sit next to Thomas. We all know how that would appear, especially to baby mama over here.
A couple people seem like they're a little shot out of a cannon.
I think maybe she's had a few drinks, as we know. She just had this conversation with Chelsea and Cameron earlier in the day being like, you went against girl code. That's really lame. So I think maybe throughout the day she's like, what am I doing with Thomas? They're right, and maybe I can get back on everybody's good side if I switch.
But do you think she said what she said? Like, do you think in her mind at this point, ugh, I don't care about Thomas? Or she thought it would somehow be okay and they could still be together?
I think she ideally wanted to be able to say something to Catherine and say all that stuff, but at the same time be like, but we're cool, right, Thomas? Like,
yeah.
Like, that's cool. And Thomas, of course, is like, oh, you just kind of threw me under the bus there. Why would I be okay with that? I think that she's someone that thinks that, well, Thomas is going to like me no matter what I do. I think she thought she kind of had, a free pass.
Yeah. It was crazy to see his sort of moment of realization of, like, maybe this is not the one.
Right, right.
So I'm ready for next episode.
Definitely.
And obviously this episode was full of weird moments between Craig and Naomi. So let's get an update from him and where their relationship is now. Hello, everyone. We are with Craig Conover from Southern Charm.
Woo!
Hey, guys. How's it going?
So we wanted to ask you about who I think is the real star of the show, which is Gizmo.
Of course. Of course.
How did he come into your life?
Well, Gizmo, Naomi kind of rescued Gizmo a long time ago. He didn't have the greatest life, and she apparently used to take people's animals all the time. If they were, like, chained up in someone's yard for too long, she would take them home. And
As,
like, a five-year-old, and her parents dealt with people coming over all the time. Like, I think your daughter took our dog again. And she'd be
vigilante.
Like, well, they should wash them more or not keep them outside. So she came across Gizmo and you know, took him under her wing and, you know, did the whole, you know, him, you know, warming up to her and falling in love. And then, you know, he used to be scared and, you know, now he sleeps on your head and stuff. But so when I started to talk to Naomi, she had said that that Gizmo didn't really like boys that much or people that much or whatever, which it turns out, like, he's awesome. But I knew he was the most important thing in her life. And so I was staying down there one weekend, and I was like, oh, man, like, this is my, like, you know, key to Naomi. Like, this is my in. And so I was like, and usually I do really well with animals. So I'm like, I hope this isn't the one that doesn't take to me. So I came in from the pool and was, like, laying on the couch, and she was upstairs showering or something, and Gizmo, like, came down the stairs and just hopped up on the couch and, like, laid down right next to me, and I hadn't met him yet, and I was, like scared to breathe. I was like, oh, my God, please don't move. Please don't move. Please don't move. And so I, like, laid stilled for what seemed like an eternity, and she came down the stairs, and I could see on her face, she was like, oh, my God. She's like, he doesn't do that with anyone. I was like, thank you so much, Gizmo. So that was kind of like, so Gizmo and I have had a bond ever since then. You know, he was my wingman.
We talk about Gizmo pretty much every week on the show.
I'm so happy that he took to the to that life as well as he did. He loved everyone, you know, that was around, and he was very drawn to the camera. So there's plenty of footage for you guys to see.
I mean, I just love that he goes in the car with you. I've never seen a cat do that before.
It was my first cat everything, so I didn't know. It was a fun first to have, because like if I'm on the golf cart, he's always sitting next to me. So we ride around the community, like people usually have their dogs next to him, and Gizmo's just hanging out on the golf cart, or you know, he goes on car rides. We think he's got like a little cat gang at night, and so he's kind of like, you know, checking on his territory and keeping his eyes out. And you know, at night he goes and makes his rounds, so we're really not sure. But
so he's like the Shep of cats.
don't insult like Gizmo like that. Gizmo is the man. No, just I love Shep.
So that is something we kind of wanted to talk about, which, you know, things are taking a bit of a turn with Shep, I feel like, this season, and we're seeing this different side of him that maybe you've seen all along. Do you ever worry, because he already has, that he'll try to make a move on Naomi again?
No, I mean, like, I mean, he might if he I mean, who knows? I don't think he would, but, you know, fortunately, you know, I'm with someone that I don't have to worry about that. And, you know, if the person you were with did hook up with Shep, then you shouldn't be with them anyway. You know, it's their fault just as much as Shep's. The reason I would be upset is because, you know, it would affect our friendship in the way that, you know, you're not a good person, and that's a respect thing. And it's like, dude, you know, I wouldn't be scared for Naomi and I's relationship. I'd be, you know, I wouldn't be friends with Shep probably as much, because I'd be like, you're just a person and you can't trust you with anything. I don't think he would. I see him act differently around Naomi than I've seen him act before around other girls that I've brought around. So
would you represent Shep if he broke the law?
Yeah. I mean, he's probably going to pay for a quarter of my, you know, fixed costs my first year operating. But no, I think that would be really funny. I think that would be a great way to bring our friendship full circle. I mean, yeah, it depends on what it would be for, but I'm sure it would be fine.
Right.
It sounds like you guys are in a good place now, because on the show, you're a little tense still.
Yeah, you know, Shep's just different. I mean, we're all, none of us are really normal, and therefore none of the things in our lives are normal. And, you know, you kind of see Shep struggling now with his own life, his personal life. And, you know, my response to him is a lot different than his to me. You know, I root for people, and, you know, I know he'll figure it out. And if I ever got real scared, which would take a lot, because, you know, he's a grown person. He's gotten this far in life. He knows what he wants to do. Then I would talk to him about it, but it would be a lot different than, you know, Shep's obsession on my personal life. And, you know, I've kind of always used the example, and not, you know, Shep won't like this, and I don't mean it to this level, but, you know, if you have two soccer fields, and, you know, one's the JV practice field and one's where the varsity team practices, you don't see the varsity players, you know, looking over during practice at the JV field, you know, talking crap on the players and hating on the JV players, because they have shit to worry about. They need to get ready for the game coming up that Sunday. They have their own lives to live. What you will see is the JV players, you know, spending more time talking crap and hating on the varsity players than they would practicing. They're like, oh, I'm better than him, I should be on the field. You won't catch that from a varsity guy. He's actually rooting for the JV guys to get better so they can, you know, maybe start next week or make the varsity team. So that's how I kind of identified that Shep wasn't very happy with himself, because he was spending more time, you know, hating on me than rooting for me. So I don't know. He's doing better now, and I'm really happy for him, so.
That's good. Do you and Naomi watch the episodes together?
No. Yeah, I for 3 years I was into it and I liked it. But this year, just because it was hard enough for Naomi and I to live it once and to make it through it, that for the sake of our relationship and stuff, I've found it that it's healthier for me to not really relive that stuff.
Right.
Naomi still watches, which is good. And, you know, I watched in the beginning for a few weeks, and now I think I can, you know, get back into it. But I knew the middle part period was going to be a little harsh. But no, we definitely don't. We don't watch together.
Does her watching it, does it make things, you know, better in some ways? Or because you're like, you know, when you see yourself and the way,
yeah,
different perspective.
Well, right. So it made it better, and it kind of hurt in both ways. But that hurt in the long run became better. She hated watching. She hated herself for some of the things she saw, but that, you know, then you're kind of angry at yourself and angry for the, and you don't know how to deal, you know, you're just upset at the whole situation. But it also scared her, you know, and was like, well, you're going to hate me, or, you know, you're going to break up with me. And I'm like, babe, I'm not, like, you know, like, I'm not going to leave you. Don't worry about it. And I think it made her more comfortable too with me not watching. Cause I really don't, you know, I'm able to separate myself a little better and, you know, be in the present and not obsess about it. But, you know, when I was basically told her that I wasn't watching and she believed me and saw that I wasn't watching, I think it helped her deal with it a little better and kind of recover, and instead of be panicky and, you know, fight, you know, to put a guard up, she was able to just deal with it herself. So I don't know.
Are you getting a lot of social media? Does that bring it up for you? Is anyone, the haters, are they hating?
I mean, I'm so much different. I'm so lucky that I handle this stuff the way I do. I don't know. I don't get upset. I don't really look at stuff. I mean, I don't know if that's right or wrong, but like Cameron, you know, she obsesses about this stuff, and I made a rule in the very beginning that I wasn't going to respond to anyone, like to argue, because if you never respond to anyone, if that's your rule, then it's not even a decision to make. But if you respond to some people, then if you don't respond to one, then that's basically like, you know, forfeiting the argument, and the people feel like they got you or whatever. So I don't argue with people, but like, I don't know. I try to help Cameron, and I was in France last year and she called me and I was like, Cam, if you left for 3 months and you didn't look at anything or respond to any of the people on Twitter and you came back, and since you didn't argue with them, how would your life change? Like, and she's like, oh, I guess it wouldn't. And I'm like, yeah, so there's no material value to like convince someone in Idaho that, you know, you're actually not a shitty person. I was like, now if you had to convince your friends and your family and people like that, which has made it a little hard for Naomi and I, because it's not on social media that I'm doing my talking on. It's the phone with my granddad or my parents being like, or my mom, because I know she's like, well, how are you and Naomi? Like, are you sure? And
exactly.
Like, you know, so I care. I get hurt a little more about our parents watching it than, you know, social media. But I have nothing against social media. I had to self-validate early on in life because, you know, I was bullied so bad growing up that by high school, I had to self-validate. So, like, I was happy with myself. So doing this, I'm able to, like, I'm not seeking validation from other people anymore. And I think I was very fortunate to go through that experience when I did, because it would be a lot different going through it now. So that's kind of what I credit it to.
Last question is, I know that you and Naomi are getting really serious. If this show continues to go on, do you think you guys would ever show your wedding on the show?
So when Naomi first got involved with me, and it got to the point like third season when she was filming with me, you know, I said my relationship was way more important than doing the show, and I would never risk it for that. And that's why I was really upset this year, is because I thought we'd be able to handle it again, and we weren't. And I was really scared, and I'm happy we've made it through it. But, you know, to make that mistake a second time would, you know, that would be on us. And so we'll have to basically be strong enough to be getting married, you know, for real, and have really made that commitment, and we're happy to do that. And hopefully by the time we're that strong, we'll be strong enough for anything. I mean, if you guys can convince Naomi to get married on television, then you might as well go work for some political party as for the next presidential candidate, because if you can convince her to do that, you could get someone elected. So, yeah, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. I don't know.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much.
No problem. No, it's a pleasure being here. I hope I get to see you guys after the reunion or whatever.
Yes.
Fill you in on all the craziness.
So it seems like Craig and Naomi are still together.
Right. But after this episode, again.
Yeah. I know real time versus like in this episode that was filmed who knows how long ago. But like, I don't know.
We're going to have to keep our eyes out. Mm-hmm. So we also spoke to Catherine, which was kind of perfect timing because we caught her before she shoots the reunion. So just like catching up on who she's friends with now, who she's not, guess which list is longer.
Right. And just like how she feels about this season, about everyone. It's really good. Hey guys, it's Rachel.
And Megan.
And we are here with Catherine Calhoun Dennis from Southern Charm.
Hi, y'all.
And she just admitted this is her first podcast ever.
It is my first, and I'm very nervous, but just, I don't know.
We'll be gentle.
Yeah, no, don't be nervous, but very nice.
So we wanted to know, have you been watching this season as it unfolds?
I have been watching. It's been uncomfortable, but in a good and bad way. It's a... Yeah, it's very different this year.
How would you say it's different? Why is it good different?
For me, it's good different because I'm able to, like, embrace the actual, I guess, person I feel like I am. You know, in the last few seasons, it's more or less me trying to be kept or trying to fit a role or, you know, an expectation. And this year, I'm kind of embracing who I am again, you know, and finding that person. So... very different for me, from my point of view, and probably from everyone else's as well.
Yeah. You and Cameron seem closer, which is a big change.
She gave a face.
It's a big change, yeah. I don't know how genuine everything was, but I wish her nothing but the best. I mean, very happy for her, you know, with her pregnancy.
Of the group, who do you feel really will have your back going into tomorrow at the reunion?
Definitely Craig. He always has my back. Not worried about him at all. Otherwise, people are unpredictable. I mean, maybe Shep. Shep and Craig are probably the only two I'd even consider for that, you know?
Yeah.
Everyone else is going to come for me.
What is the relationship with Jennifer Snowden?
There is none. I mean... it's kind of sad to say. I feel like everyone's hating me because she just had a child and there's drama between us. But, I mean, it's the truth of the matter. We don't see eye to eye. She has different morals than me, and regardless of the timing, that's just where I stand with her.
You were saying you aren't worried about Craig. He always seems to come to your defense. How do you feel about that?
Well, it's interesting because... I don't even have girlfriends that are like that, you know what I mean? Like, and he's a guy coming and having my back. It's like he's one of my girlfriends, you know what I mean? But it feels nice to know that someone's going to be there and someone is serious when they say they have, you know, your best interests at heart and they're going to have your back too. Not only to me, you know, being friendly and there for me, he also has my back whenever he hears other people talking about me, which is often. I don't know. I feel like we have some weird understanding or connection because maybe we're the same age, too. And we're not trust fund Charleston kids, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we like it that way, too.
Yeah.
So.
We watched the episode where you guys all go on vacation together. Yeah. Were you at all nervous to go on? Because I feel like I would have been petrified.
I was very nervous just because I didn't know how everyone else was going to mix whenever we were all together in one place. You know, we had all had good experiences, you know, with one-on-one talks or whatever, and everyone supposedly had, you know, resolved everything and become friends, but this would be the first time we would all be together? Would they, you know, remain, I guess, on good terms with me, or would they hear one bad thing and then jump on the gravy train, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was nervous about that, but otherwise I was so happy to get away and just try and relax, I guess.
Yeah.
You know?
Will we see Landon kind of reach out to you at the dinner, and you the whole time are like, I don't trust this. I don't think it's genuine. Were you right?
Oh, absolutely right. And I feel like I have been all this time with her, you know?
Are you nervous about seeing her tomorrow at the reunion?
No. I think it's...
She does with a smile.
Like, this is what I think of whenever Landon is going to be somewhere. Like, I laugh, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be funny. Because she just gives it to you. Like, you don't even have to look for a reason to, you know, not like her or want to correct her. She gives it to you. And I just think it's entertaining. I don't know. That sounds really bad, but it's true.
Do you have your outfit picked out for tomorrow? Can you give us a preview?
Yes. It's a really gorgeous dress that... very beautiful and very Catherine.
Because last year's look was very, like, Southern
confused.
Gothic. That's not what I was going to say. So I didn't know if it would be similar to that or a different aesthetic completely.
Oh, no. Very different. Okay. Very different. Thank God. I don't even know what happened to those clothes. I think I must have, like, hid them from myself.
Definitely upgraded from last year.
Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking.
I was going to say, how did that look come together?
It never came together. I was thinking I was going to be a do-it-yourself, like, I don't even know, designer. It was not that. I can't even come up with the words to describe how embarrassing it is to see that dress, that look, and then me at the same time, like, shouting at people, and oh my God, so bad. I even give, like, a peace sign at one point and, like, stick my tongue out.
Okay, I'm going to rewatch now.
No, don't find that clip. Do not find that clip. It's so bad.
But at least you can laugh about it now. I feel like not everyone.
Well, and that's the thing. I can laugh about it because that's not who I actually am. That was me under a lot of stress. I don't know. I feel like... it's just a joke. I don't know.
Focusing on someone else's relationship, Craig and Naomi have been going through it this season.
Yeah.
What is your advice, if any, to them?
It's really hard to give advice whenever you're in a relationship on a reality television show. I mean, there's so many strings being pulled in every which way. It's more or less like, I think you should just keep things that are very personal and very private, like a real relationship that you want to make into a marriage, keep that to yourself. Don't put it out there as entertainment, because people dissect entertainment and they want to feel one way or the other, so they're going to pick a side and they're going to split it apart. If you're in a relationship, you want to be, you know, like one. So I don't know, my best advice would be just to be mindful of that, I guess, and don't get caught up in the way other people are viewing an argument and saying who is wrong and how wrong they are, because then you'll, I don't know, people can really shift the way you view even things that you think are so close to you, like a relationship. Yeah, so just really, like, try and be as private as possible and try and remember what your relationship was beforehand, you know, because it still is that relationship. It's just got a, you know, few minor complications outside of it that are infecting the, you know, the actual relationship.
Speaking of relationships, are you dating anyone?
Oh, no. I don't have time for that right now. I'm focusing on me and bettering myself, falling in love with myself. I feel like I'm still kind of, not jaded or anything, but I'm just not interested in dealing with that drama anymore. I don't know.
That's when it usually finds you.
Exactly. And it's always creeping around the corner, right. But I'm trying to shut it down. Trying to keep it down.
we always ask people this, you know, on social media, there you have your fans and you have your haters. For the haters, what do you feel like is the biggest misconception about you?
I'd say that there's a lot of people out there that play with this idea that I'm super manipulative and I'm just this master, you know, manipulator, and that's how I've, you know, orchestrated, that's how I've navigated everything. But it isn't, you know, if anything, it could be perceived that way. I guess I can sometimes see how people would automatically jump to that conclusion, but really, I come from a place that's very genuine, I guess. So I never had any intentions of like, oh, well, I'm going to, you know, do this and then I'm going to have an easy life or whatever it may be. I never had intentions like that. So for people to say that, you know, that's who I am or that's how I live my life, like just by climbing the ladder, by feeding off of other people, that's untrue. It's actually quite the opposite. And, you know, fighting off everyone's argument, which is kind of all the same, you know, they all say that I'm manipulative. Yeah, they're always kind of trying to like blame shift and put some like blanket argument over it and say, oh, she's just manipulative and she made that up. Actually, I didn't, and I called you out, and that's why you don't like it. So don't put it on me, because you can sit here and deny whatever you want, but the truth is the truth, even if it isn't on camera.
Right. That has to be the frustrating part.
It's frustrating, but at the same time, I'm okay with it because I know what really happened. I know the truth. So when they're trying to present this like false self on camera, it's laughable. You know, yes, it's about some serious things, but it's just a joke because you see how people live their lives under this like mask. You know what I mean? Trying to, I don't know. I could talk a lot and are very in depth about this stuff because after I left California, this is all I do, read about psychology, dissect all of these situations and try and understand them, because these people are crazy. So trying to figure them out is quite the task.
What keeps you coming back to the show?
I feel like for the most part, if I were to leave and give the platform solely to these other people, they would define it how they wanted to. And if I wasn't, you know, there to kind of correct them or put out my side of the story, they could get away with, you know, painting this picture of me that they do anyways, but you know, they would get away with it, I guess. And I don't want to give them that power, and I never will, because regardless, you know, let's say I wasn't to do this season and they said all this stuff about me, even if I went and like talked about it to someone and told them, well, actually this is what happened, and like wrote a book or something ridiculous, you know what I mean, and said my side, it's not the same as watching it on a television, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Visual understanding is like, I feel like, what people shift towards or whatever. And this stuff is like really, really heavy for me to talk about, mm-hmm. because it's just, I've had a huge like enlightenment about all of these people. You know, I have read so many books, so many things about psychology that I feel like my head is so wrapped up in all of it that I don't know.
Maybe you can become a psychologist. Maybe that's your next step.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I think that it's maybe my way of coping or something like that. Like, yeah. Just trying to understand mm-hmm. what the heck is going on. Because these people just, I don't know, they're crazy.
Well, it's funny because when Shep was in the office, he said, you know, Catherine has so many fans out there. She is the patron saint of scorned women. And
oh, I know where he was coming from with that. God.
But at the same time, I'm kind of like, I think that you are so relatable in some ways because we have all been hurt and we've all been around what we perceive as like fakeness. And you are like a voice to that.
Well, yeah, I think that people vicariously live through kind of my situations, arguments with these people. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I knew someone like that. I remember when people right. were trying to do that to me, you know, trying to gaslight you, do whatever it may be, or go through, you know, a difficult relationship, like, yep, girl, get out of that, you know, get out of that relationship, you deserve better. And it's because it's something they've learned in the past or they identify with in some way. And I think that just putting it all out on the table opens your fan base up in general. Mm-hmm. Everyone else wants to be on this, like, I don't know, very tailored, I guess, image that they want to portray. So they aren't like vulnerable, and people sense that. They can't identify with that. They view that and feel that way because it's disingenuous, I guess.
Well, when Craig was in, he was saying how he was giving Cameron advice to just not look at Twitter and not look at anything. Yeah. Are you able to not look at it, or are you always looking at social media, or how do you deal with it?
To be honest, I was very affected by it season one and part of season two. But, so I would ignore it then. But now, I don't care. I can, like, scroll through it and see mean things that are said about me or to me. And I laugh because I'm like, who the heck sits behind a computer screen and is, like, you know, typing and mean stuff about people? Like, it is very rare that I'll comment on someone else's stuff because I don't have intense reactions to things that people say or do. Like, I could tweet something about leggings and someone would, like, say, oh, you're a terrible person, you're an addict, you're this and that. I'm like, dude, you have no clue what you're talking about. Just, it's a joke to me.
Right.
And I'm not discounting people for having an opinion, but if you're really going to tweet at me after everything you think you've seen on TV, like, you're a joke because you don't even understand. You see, like, 5 minutes out of a 6-hour scene, you know? If you're that unaware, like, goodbye.
You guys, I am in love with Catherine Calhoun Dennis.
It's true.
Like, she just, on the show, like, first season, I remember Thomas saying, she just has an old soul. And she said, people tell me that. And she totally does.
She
does. Just has an old soul. She seems very wise. Like, I'm just, I'm overwhelmed.
She reminded me of, like, almost Marilyn Monroe in a way, which is, mm-hmm. I mean, like, a big thing to say, but that Marilyn, like, so beautiful, first of all, mm-hmm. very kind of introverted and shy, but also, like, well-read. She mm-hmm. reads a lot, and she just seemed really, she's, like, almost not aware of how beautiful she is.
Right, but then also, like, I'm someone that says everything that comes out the top of my head. But, like, she's planning what she's saying. She's really thinking.
Thoughtful.
Very thoughtful. I'm just in love. That's all I can say.
And, like, she was nervous. And I was like, you're nervous to be around us?
Oh, my God. I'm nervous, Catherine. But we love you. We're here for you, Catherine.
Come back.
See us again.
Okay, so we haven't been consistently talking about Southern Charm Savannah, but after Rachel and I watched this episode, we were like, obviously we have to talk about it.
Oh my God.
It was amazing.
It was so good and so juicy.
So I want to get straight to the tailgate. Let's, like, get to the meat of this episode.
I knew things were going to go wrong when they had a bucket of tiny Fireball.
I've never seen little cute Fireballs like that.
Oh, I have. My mother brought it out, like, Christmas last year. I was like, look what I got. These Fireballs, cool, right? And I was like, oh, my God, mother.
What a cool mom.
Yeah, my mom's pretty cool.
My mom would never do shots with me.
Oh, my mom, when I was home recently, we had, like, 2 margaritas, and we were like, woo! My grandmother was like, My grandma's constantly asking for vodka. So that's my life.
It's crazy because I feel like we didn't see necessarily the progression of Ashley getting super drunk. We saw her upset and talking with the girls, and then we saw her on the couch. Like,
it was like the guys were like, we're going out, and all of a sudden Ashley is dead.
Right.
Like, it was very quick.
But her vomiting on herself. First of all, have we not all been there?
Yes, yes. And I loved that Hannah and Catherine right away were like, oh, we can deal with this. It's fine. No big deal. And I was like, that's right. These are girls, Landon.
I'm embarrassed to say this was me recently.
Oh, no.
And I was in a cab. Aaron turned over, and I was just, like, dribbling all over myself.
Oh, no.
And he's trying to catch it in my coat.
Oh, God. I threw up in a cab on my 21st birthday in Vegas.
I mean, that's understandable.
On my aunt. It was not fun.
Oh.
And then I blacked out for the first time.
Cool.
Like, one of the only times I've ever blacked out. But it was my 21st birthday in Vegas.
Is this episode going to be called Brownouts and Blackouts?
I think it will be. So, yeah, we've all been there, Ashley. No shame in your game.
But then I thought that was going to be the shocking moment, and then Hannah's dad.
Oh. Could you imagine, like, going
Louis?
Out? Yes, just going out with your partner's parent, and they're like, I never loved my wife.
Your girlfriend's mother.
And then being like, get out now. If you don't love my daughter, you get out.
They want to know what happened. Nothing happened. I can't tell them. I can't f***ing tell them I was never in love with her.
What the f***?
Never f***ing force anything.
I'm not.
I swear to God, you're not f***ing 1,000%. I love you more for you to be like, hey, there.
But it almost, and it also sounded sort of like, Louie, you're young. You have your life ahead of you. Don't get bogged down with Hannah.
Oh, did you think?
Kind of.
I thought it was more like, I don't want.
I hope so, because the whole time I was like, what?
I thought it was more like, I don't want you to put Hannah through what I put my wife through.
Right. But.
Which was a little bit noble.
No, totally. But do you think Louie should tell Hannah?
I don't know. I mean, how do you tell? She has such a fraught relationship with her dad.
But she's going to watch the episode.
Right, but she's going to watch the episode. He better tell her before the episode.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yikes.
I should reach out to her and be like,
no.
Did you know ahead of time?
No. But yes, please do.
Okay.
Daniel was in, what do they call it? Rare form.
In this episode?
Because he's really drunk.
Oh, yes. He went full Daniel.
Full Daniel.
Full Dan. There's full Lou, but he went full Dan.
Ends up cuddling with Ashley, who's been barfing.
I know. I'd be like, you don't even know what was happening earlier. Get off of her. But also, I thought it was funny that Lyle was like, he's clearly too drunk to get into this bar. And he, like, sweet-talked the... what do you call
bouncer.
It? He sweet-talked the bouncer and was like,
what's going on, dude? He's all good. I'll watch out for him. Thank you. Before you throw him out, get me. Thank you.
I was like, that's amazing. Have you ever not gotten into a bar for being so drunk?
No. Have you?
Yes.
You're like a few times.
There's like a couple times.
Oh, my gosh.
It was once in Australia when I was like, not that drunk, but the guy was being an ass. And then there was one time in New York, but I was really drunk, so
you're like, I get it.
I get that one. I was very drunk. But.
Well, we talked to Daniel, and we talked to him about this episode, so enjoy. Hey, everyone. We are here with Coupons Galore.
Mm, we are. We are. You're right.
Also known as Daniel Eccles from Southern Charm Savannah.
Thanks for being here.
Yes. You're welcome. Thank you guys for having me on the show. This is so awesome.
Yay. Yeah, thank you. So we wanted to start from the beginning. How did you get into these group of friends? What is Savannah Country Day? Like, explain that to everyone.
I mean, these have been my friends since, you know, lower and middle school. These are the guys mm-hmm. I was hanging out with when I was, like, learning how to play soccer. You know, learning how to walk almost even. Mm-hmm. And we all... Not all, but we basically all went to Savannah Country Day, and that was just the school we went to. You know, Savannah's a small place, so there's not, you know, 1,000 schools. It's not like Atlanta or New York or anything crazy. So it's just, it's the school we all went to, and it's where we all kind of, I guess, forged our relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever hook up with Hattie?
No, I never hooked up with Hattie. Oh,
had to ask.
Maybe in the future?
You can ask it. I mean, you know, only time will tell. I'm not really sure. The fact that I have a girlfriend will mean it probably won't happen in the future.
Oh,
but
yeah, that's sign of, yeah.
You know.
And as it starts to air and as it's been airing, like, how have the residents of Savannah been responding?
I think it's kind of been mixed. I think hopefully at the end that the residents of Savannah will appreciate it and enjoy it and realize that what we're doing is to try to make our city a better place. And I think that we try to do that every day. And I think that we try to definitely do it when we were filming. And I think that it will eventually, I think that it will come off more positive than negative. But, you know, with any new show or new kind of anything, there's always going to be your people that support you. And there's always going to be haters.
Watching the show now, what is it like watching yourself? What is it like hearing what the other people were saying in interview? Is it coloring any of your relationships now?
It's, you know, watching yourself is definitely something that you cringe at.
Right.
Like, You know, you were filmed for thousands of hours, and they're trying to shrink this filming into like a quick 45-minute segment. And so it's very hard for them to portray a perfect portrayal of who we are. And I think that it's cringeworthy when you see yourself kind of like say something a little off or like say something you don't exactly mean. And so that's hard. But I mean, besides that part, it's kind of just, it's funny. It's definitely something to laugh at. And, you know, it's definitely made our relationships with my friends and I think we're fine right now. And I think that we will be fine, but it makes them a little tense at times because like you said, you hear someone say something about an interview and it's like, but you know, I think we all understand and realize that, you know, they're my friends. They'll be my friends forever. And, you know, I'm not worried about anything, but it's definitely trying on your relationships for a minute. It's just, it's all about how you handle it.
Mm-hmm. What's been like the most cringeworthy moment for you?
The picture on the couch coming up with Ashley, that was very cringeworthy to me because, like, I was completely hammered, passed out, and don't remember that happening at all, and woke up and obviously felt very weird at that moment, and then got to see a picture of it the next day, and I was like, real funny, guys. And so my friends, obviously, they knew that I had went to sleep on the couch by myself, but they also, you know, knew it would be very funny to take a picture.
Right.
So I was definitely like, oh. But, you know, I think it's been good overall. There haven't been too many cringeworthy moments for me, luckily.
Do you guys watch the episodes together?
We've watched some of the episodes together. Yeah, it's you know, it's hard getting so many people together,
right.
But definitely have watched some of them together as much as possible. Obviously I won't be able to be in Savannah watching this one together with them, but I do plan on watching the next episode with them.
Okay. Invite only Cabo. You wanted to talk about.
Okay. So I didn't watch this yet. And Megan was like, freaking out of her desk as she was watching it. She was like, Agu puts his hand down Emily's dress. Or up Emily's down?
Up
it
skirt.
It was down up skirt, though.
Yeah. Contoured.
And I watched it and
contorted?
It didn't happen yet. I feel like he was about to make it happen and it wasn't. So I was expecting more.
It was in there. His hand was moving.
It wasn't innocent. No, no, no. But also, I think she had Spanx on, so I was like, what's going on here?
Ugh.
I know, I don't know. Is there a hole in Spanx? I didn't know that.
Grace, resident Spanx wearer.
I've worn, like, stuff before, but it didn't have a hole in it. I always had to pull it down.
Yeah. But that was funny. I loved how Bianca tried to, like, capture it on the sly.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
Totally something I would want to do, like, to catch what was happening behind me.
But I loved Agu's face the moment and he like took his hand out. Like he was still in there when she showed him. Oh my god. And like right after Emily gets so annoyed and she runs out and you leave Kamani and then that's what you do. And then right before he said that he was like, oh, my balls are so blue.
My balls is like so blue right now.
I know, my balls are full right now too.
My balls are so blue that I just lost my brain of thought.
Oh my god.
It's a real problem.
Mm-hmm. It just was so bad. But you had a strong reaction to Kamani's reaction.
I just felt like it was kind of over the top. But then again, I'm not in her shoes in terms of that she has been waiting. Like, she's not someone who's always out dating because she wants a guy who's serious. It's clear she's been cheated on in the past. So for this to happen, I do get that it's upsetting. But, like, she was screaming at Larry. And I was like, it's not Larry's fault.
Larry had nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
He's just the host.
So I'm interested to see what the aftermath is going to be. Plus, next episode, we find out who Larry's been dating.
I know. And I wanted to say, when we talked to Agu, he said he still hangs out with Kamani.
Oh.
So I don't know how that's all going to work out.
We shall see.
And I think that she was extra upset because she clearly dislikes Emily so much. So she was just like, really, with her? You had to do that?
Let's talk about Below Deck Med, but first, a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Reza's Mustache.
Beautiful, luxurious, full. These are words that describe his mustache.
Mustache.
So Below Deck met. I know we were so excited last week because we knew that Hannah was going to potentially hook up with the charter guest.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I don't know if that's a good idea. But then I watched this episode and I was like, yes, do it. Okay, he's handsome. That's fine. I was more excited by the fact that he was so good, well-mannered and polite.
Mm.
And as someone who's from the Dallas area, I can tell you that's just how they're raised.
It's how they do. Just very polite. Offer kisses. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Rolling it back.
He kept noticing the small details and, like, would point them out to her and say, like, thank you so much. That's so nice that you did that. It was like, you are such a sweetie.
Do you think that that was all a ploy, though, because he liked her, too?
No, he's from Texas.
So that's just how he is.
Genuine.
So do you think that she was taking all of that too much to heart?
No, I think it just gave her a tickle in her pickle.
Ooh, gross. He's like Patty Stanger. The picker. And then, yeah, the noises.
The noise.
Can we play the noises, Grace? So, yeah, I don't know what those noises mean, but it sounds more than kissing to me, but I think it was just kissing. I don't know.
But I like that he's like, you've been doing such a great job.
I can't. Like, if I, as someone who has worked in the service industry, if I was hit on by a customer, which you get hit on, by the way, all the time, just because there's, like, some weird thing about, like, bartenders or waitresses or whatever. It's like being a stewardess, you know? And then we're making out, and he's like, you're just so good at your job. It would be, like, so weird. I'd be like,
I'm
really?
Gonna leave you a big tip.
Yeah. I'm not talking about money. But he's real cute.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens next week. All right, Real Housewives of New York.
Oh, my God.
What to you was, like, the stuff we should talk about?
I loved Frenchie in this episode. Like, I think he just
those
kind of...
Beaches.
Those jealous beaches.
I think they have a lot of garden to take care of.
They do.
All those
exactly.
Girls, all those bitches. So, let them talk.
It's, like, so amazing. And also, I feel like they have such good chemistry.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really liked watching them together. But then when I was watching her with Rocco, like, squirm around the fact that she's, like, a live-in boyfriend now.
A live-in boyfriend.
And she's, like, playing it down completely. Like, I hooked up with him once, and
now he's enamored,
like,
with me.
Yeah. It just is, like, such a Sonia problem.
And I don't necessarily think Sonia should be with Rocco, but he was so cute and
I was
sweet.
Like, I'm not an older lady of the Upper East Side. But I was like, if I were Sonia, I would be like totally into Rocco. Like, currently in my current state of life, maybe not. But like at that point,
right.
I think he would be like such a good catch. He was very charming. And he was so excited about the restaurant, which I thought was so cute. I don't know. I like them both.
I know.
I see why she's in a pickle here.
So Ramona's party to show off the new apartment, which looks great.
Yes.
What'd you think of the hairstyle?
It was almost good. I think the ponytail needed to be higher. Because it just kind of went like, bleh. Like, you can't
right.
see what I'm doing, everyone, but
like
my
deflated,
hand just went like,
yeah,
bleh.
Pony.
Whereas, like, with all of that tension, I think you needed
it
more of,
painful.
Like...
painful.
Yeah, it did look painful, and I love a really, like, sleek look like that, but I think there's a disconnect between the pony. I wish she would have maybe put extensions in, so it would have been, like, a long...
But I also think she has a very round face, and a round face and a tight ponytail I don't always think go together.
Mm. It did, I will say...
Yeah. Instant facelift.
Yeah, instant facelift.
That's what Dorit said at the Beverly Hills reunion. That's why she likes her.
Oh, right.
Top
so
knots.
Tight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Hot tip. Okay, so then Harry shows up. Harry Dubin.
Thank the Lord. I was so happy to see Harry Dubin. Like, And then I find out, not only does he know Tinsley, but he knows her through Kelly Ben.
That's what I wrote. I said, wait a GD second. He used to date Kelly Ben Simone?
Is that what she was saying?
I don't know if she's saying
around with.
Whatever. Either way.
I met Harry Dubin when he was hanging out with Kelly Ben Simone in Miami. And now I find out he's been with Sonia, Luann. The guy gets around.
Like, what is with Harry Dubin? What magic does this man possess?
Whatever it is, I really feel like it touched Tinsley's mom because I could see in her eyes, the, like, oh, he's charming.
Right.
Even though he's basically hitting on her daughter.
Her daughter.
So funny.
And then I loved that Tinsley, like, took it all in stride, though. It
yeah.
was, like, very... They all clearly do know each other, and, like, this is just how he is.
Since you mentioned Tinsley, what about that second apartment she looked at?
If she doesn't take that second apartment, she's a fool. But also, I was like, I think I wrote down, we need to get into business development, because apparently Tinsley with that can afford a $9,000 a month. She was like, for a family business, I do business development. And I was like, that's all I need to do to get that apartment?
Then she goes, and family money.
Oh, right. That's true.
But also, why are you paying rent?
Right, buy an apartment.
I don't know.
Meanwhile, I'm like, well, I'll keep living in the attic.
Oh, okay. But so, back to the party. I really wanted to talk about the fact that Luann meeting Tom's ex. So the way she's looking at this woman, before she, you could tell she didn't really know who she was when he introduced them.
And she's Missy.
Like, is that your ex? And then Luann is like watching her the whole time. It reminds me, when I was in college, I was dating my high school boyfriend. So we've mm-hmm. been together for 4 years. And I walked into a party full of people he knew and I didn't. There was a girl there. And I can tell you the energy was palpable and I knew immediately.
That they were hooking up?
They were hooking up.
So they were hooking up.
And then I found out they were.
How soon after did you find out?
Oh, it was a while after.
But you knew something was up?
I knew something was up. But the thing is, and this is the part that sucks about being a woman, is when you have that gut intuition, you can't make anyone admit to something. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, I know because I feel it. Like, that's
right,
not going to make someone.
And then you just sound crazy.
Anyway, he's an ass.
Clearly. It was funny seeing Harry Dubin there because to me, Tom is clearly Harry Dubin, like, light or something.
Yeah.
So if you think of Harry Dubin and what he went through with Sonia, I feel like if Harry Dubin had settled down with Sonia and mm-hmm. actually, like, went there, I feel like that's the reaction with Tom, which is why everyone's like, what? He's settling down?
Right.
Because he's clearly such a ladies' man.
Right.
In this certain group of people particularly. So it was interesting to see, like, what Tom's life could have been or, like, how all their lives kind of mirror each
right.
other. It was just so interesting to me.
What did you think about that hot mic moment? Harry's asking Missy, oh, so he pulled you into the bathroom at the Regency? Oh,
so he dragged you into the bathroom at the Regency?
I don't know.
He did. You kissed him back.
I don't want to be involved in all that. And she'll come after me. I'm scared.
With vengeance.
With, like, daggers in the eyes.
Plus her dagger eyes. I was like, be nice to Luann. I'd be pretty pissed, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, not good. I will just say that. Probably not the best. But it all seemed very... I think Ramona constantly saying, but I've never been with any of you. Look at all you people, all so incestuous. But I've never been with any of you makes you be like...
But she was. She was with Tom.
Right.
And I think she's just...
She loves to point out the awkwardness in a situation.
Yeah. She's trying to stir things up, I think.
Right. Well, I had a question for you. Do you think all these invitations were so innocent?
No.
She
never.
No. Right? Like, she just happened to invite Missy to an event that Tom and Luann would be at.
Yeah.
And Harry Dubin when Sonia's going to be there.
Without giving Luann a heads up. P.S.
I know. Rude.
Rude.
I had a question for you about that moment, too. What did you think about Tom telling Luann that she's so happy for them?
I think no ex is truly ever happy for someone who moves on.
Right, and I, at first I was like, oh, he's kind of lying. But then I was like, well, it's a weird situation, like, who hasn't been around an ex, and you're just like, oh. But if you really have moved on, you're not caring.
Yeah, you don't care. You're not like, I'm so happy for you.
Right. But even for him, I thought at first I was like, oh, he's lying. But then I was like, oh, if he's moved on and doesn't care, he's like, oh, yeah, she's great. Don't even worry about it. Like, I was like, okay, Tom. I'm buying it.
So we're thinking about taking a podcast field trip to the Regency. So yes. If any of you guys have questions or things you want us to investigate.
Right. Like, where would this back room be? Oh, no, it was the bathroom.
Yeah. Like, how big are the bathroom stalls?
Right. Can you kiss in them?
Yeah.
We'll record from the bathroom.
Yeah.
to give you the acoustics, get you the feel for what it's like to be in there.
But so tweet us your questions at BravoTV using the hashtag BravoDailyDish. Oh, hey, you can also find us on Twitter at Meg Segura and at Rachie Robb.
Yep.
We already got a really good tweet this week.
Yes, we did. Elizabeth Taylor.
We see you, girl.
Yes. Or her Twitter handle is, hold on, at GiovanniGG89.
Oh. She pointed out that we left off one of the most important hot mic moments in Bravo history, which was Teresa and Joe.
When they were in the, for Caroline's birthday, in like Napa area in the vineyard.
And Teresa walks up to Joe, who is
talking on the phone to, we still do not know who.
Could be a business associate.
Could be a business associate. Could be his assistant. Could be anybody.
But he was saying some questionable things.
Mm-hmm. Hold on one second, but I gotta call my work. Hey, what are you doing? Oh, don't even tell me that. We're actually celebrating Caroline's 50th birthday over here. Hold on, here she comes, my bitch wife. She's such a... But anyway, I'm going to hang up and be like, I'm going to talk to, like, whatever.
What are you talking to?
My worker, what the...
Oh, why'd you walk away?
That laugh I'll never unhear.
Also, and this is super important, we want to get to know you guys better. The Daily Dish is competing with other shows to get the most responses to a quick survey. It only takes a few minutes of your time, and you can do it straight from your smartphone.
Help us out and support our show by going to Wondery.com/survey and filling it out. That's Wondery.com/survey.
The link will be in the episode description. And finally, we leave you with the best line of the week. Tinsley Mortimer.
I like my curls. I like my lashes. I like my party dresses. I like my blonde hair. I like my long hair. I'm not changing.
And I just want to shout out that this line reminded me of another little sassy lady you might all know and love from the internets.
I like my hair. I like my haircuts. I like my pajamas. I like my stuff. I like my rooms. I like my whole house. My whole house is great. I can do anything good. Yeah.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy.